Mike Kabugin. Hello, friend, and greetings once again in the wonderful, precious name of the Lord Jesus Christ. For the bread of God is He, which cometh down from heaven, and giveth life unto the world. And Jesus said unto them, I am the bread of life. This is Bob Griggs with the Bread of Life broadcast, and I'm so thankful and glad that we have the privilege of joining each other today through means of radio to study God's Word and to meditate upon the truth. And I trust that you will join us as we look into the Word of God and consider what God has told us concerning man and God and how they can come together. We've been discussing the book of Genesis chapter 3, how man fell into sin, and we've talked about the contradiction that appeared and how that there actually was no contradiction, how that God's ways are as far above our ways as the heavens are above the earth, and God sees things from a different perspective than we do. And as we consider and think about man's lost condition and God's holiness, how can man know God when man is a sinner? That is, being a sinner is one in rebellion against God and His holy law, which is sin. While God is holy, He's without any sin, and thus by His very nature He must punish and judge sin. So if you'll draw a line, imaginary line, in front of you, on the left-hand side write the word man. On the right-hand side of the line write the word God. And in the middle of that line write the word sin. Because sin separates man from God. Under man you can write sinful nature, because man has a sinful nature. Under God write holy nature, for God is by nature holy and without any sin. Under man write loves sin. Because of our sinful nature, we love sin. Under God, on the right-hand side, under His holy nature, write hates sin. God hates sin. And so we see the two are completely opposed to each other. Man in his sinful condition, separated and lost. God in His holiness and in His righteousness. Man loves sin, God hates sin. How in the world can the two ever be brought together? Because sin has separated man from God. How can God and man be brought into agreement? There must be a mediator, an advocate, a lawyer, one who can bring the two together, one who can bring the two into agreement. 1 Timothy chapter 2 and verse 5 in the New Testament tells us, for there is one God and one mediator between God and men, the man Christ Jesus. Jesus Christ is that mediator. He is the only one who can bring God and man into agreement, into harmony, into unity. 1 John chapter 2 and verse 1 in the New Testament states, my little children, these things write I unto you, that ye sin not. And if any man sin, we have an advocate. An advocate, and there again we see this one who is a mediator, this one who is a lawyer, this one who is an advocate with God the Father, and that one advocate between man and God is Jesus Christ, the righteous. Yes, beloved, 2 Corinthians 5:21 tells us that God the Father made Jesus Christ, the Son of God, who knew no sin, to be made sin for us, that we might be made the righteousness of God in Him. John 3:16 tells us, For God the Father so loved the world, the human race, that He gave His only begotten Son. Jesus Christ came to earth in human form some 2,000 years ago. Our calendar itself centers around this historical fact, that whosoever would believe in Him, the Lord Jesus Christ, should not perish, but have everlasting, eternal life. Oh yes, beloved, that wonderful and amazing gift is offered to mankind through believing in and accepting the Lord Jesus Christ as one Savior. The Bible tells us it's a fact that all have sinned and come short of the glory of God, Romans 3:23. That is, we've all sinned and broken God's law and come short of measuring up to God's standard of righteousness because of our sin. Imagine you're being in a place where there's a light bulb up in the ceiling, and the light bulb has burned out. And you try to reach the light bulb, but it's up above your head. It's too high above you. You cannot reach it. You come short of reaching the light bulb so you can change it and put another bulb in. Or consider the world's broad jump. And I forget how far the broad jump was, but suppose that it was 30 feet, and you come to a canyon or a crevice in the earth, and you've got to get to the other side, and it is 31 feet wide, and you say, well, maybe I can jump it. Maybe I can jump it. The broad jump record is 30 feet, but I've got to get across to the other side. I'll run back and get a running leap, and I'll do everything I can to reach the other side. And you jump, say you equal the record of the world's broad jump, say you also reach 30 feet. But you go falling to the rocks below because you could not reach that other side. You came short of reaching the other side. That's what sin has done to mankind. We've come short of measuring up to God's standard of righteousness, and it's because of sin. And thus, there's a penalty for sin. Romans 6:23 tells us, For the wages of sin is death. That's why men die. Beloved, that's where death came from. Romans 5:12 tells us, Wherefore as by one man, and that's what we've studied previously, that one man was Adam. By one man, sin entered into the world, and death by sin. God told Adam and Eve there in the Garden of Eden, In the day they ate thereof, they'd surely die. They were separated from God that very day. And in God's time, they never lived the whole day through. They died before the day was over. As God states in 2 Peter 3:8, A day is with Him as 1,000 years, and 1,000 years as a day. And we read over in the book of Genesis chapter 5 how that many men lived many, many hundreds of years, but no man ever reached the 1,000-year mark. The man who lived the longest was Methuselah, and it was 169 years. But he came short of living a day, because the wages of sin is death, and death has passed upon all men, because all have sinned. But the good news, beloved, there is good news. And that good news is what we call the gospel. That's what the gospel means. It means good news. And that good news is that Christ paid the penalty. Romans 5:8, but God commendeth or showed forth His love toward us. He made known His love to mankind, in that while we were yet sinners, separated, lost, headed for a Christless eternity, Christ died for our sins. He took our sin upon Himself. He became literally sin for us, as 2 Corinthians 5:21, for He, speaking of God the Father, hath made Him, the Lord Jesus Christ, God the Son, to be sin for us, He who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in Him. Yes, beloved, Jesus Christ took our sin upon Himself. He paid the penalty for my sin, for your sin. And He tells us in Romans chapter 10, that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth, and shalt believe in thine heart, in your inner being, in your spirit, that God hath raised Jesus from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made. I do believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. I do receive Him as my Savior. And verse 13 of Romans 10 says, for whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. That means right now, beloved, you can ask Jesus Christ to come into your life. He's closer than the sound of my voice. His Holy Spirit is right there, ready to do that work of salvation within your spirit. If you'll cry out, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. I believe, Lord Jesus, you died for my sin, that you were buried, that you arose from the grave. And today, Lord Jesus Christ, I ask you to come into my heart, to forgive me for my sin. And beloved, He says He'll hear that prayer. He'll grant that request. He'll move into your spirit right now. Till next time, goodbye.